It's better over here.
After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you, and also accepts insurance. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's time now to go beyond the headlines and for the next 2 hours, go where every sports fan wants to go. Behind the scenes and into the practice facilities, locker rooms, coaches' offices, and press boxes to get the info before anyone else. This is the ESPN 1320 Insiders.
Oh, good morning. It's a good Tuesday. It is such a good Tuesday. James Hamm there. I'm Kyle Madsen. Jiffy Lube is the sponsor. I slept good last night.
Did you?
I slept great last night.
Oh.
And I sleep good on nights where I know, hey, you know what? Show's good tomorrow.
Show's
in a good spot for tomorrow. There's nothing worse than going to bed and going, I don't know what we're going to do tomorrow. It happens a lot during the summer. You're going to bed and you're trying to think, okay, what am I going to, God, what do we got? What can I come up with? And God, what bits have we been doing and what can we spin off? And does this play? A lot of sleepless nights during the summer. You good over there?
Yeah. No. The mic is all kinds of problems.
Pets' heads are falling off.
I think that those nights that you talk about are the nights where I stay up and like I keep opening my laptop and trying to build out the rundown, and like sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. These days are so simple where you walk in and you're like, okay, we had, media day is a huge, huge thing in Sacramento.
Yes.
It's huge. And everyone loves their Kings and they want to know exactly what's happening at Media Day. But we also had 2 Monday night games.
Yep.
We talked yesterday about the passing of the great Dikembe Mutombo.
Mm-hmm.
But then we have another passing, which is very diametrically opposed to the other passing. And it was a crazy night of sports and crazy day of sports. But Kyle, I was so exhausted from Media Day. I was sitting there working and I fell asleep at like 7:30 and slept for an hour and a half. Then I woke up and I'm like, well, this is not good.
Little nap at 7:30 p.m.
I had more work to do. I think as you get older, you forget things like media day. Most media scrums, so people know, most media scrums, we interview someone for like, you know, if it's Mike Brown, it might go like 12 minutes. If it's most players, it's usually around 5.
Sure.
Right? Media day, you throw all that out the window. It is 21 players. It is a head coach. It is a general manager. 23 interviews.
Golly.
3 hours standing in the same scrum. No way to move. Blood fills your legs. Everyone is grabbing their back. It's the first day of school. It's a brutal, brutal day.
Sounds like it. Sounds very strenuous standing there interviewing people. Kings Media Day, you mentioned Monday Night Football. Kings training camp begins today. We've got MLB postseason beginning today. We've got a couple of 49ers-related things. Some news coming down from Vincent Bonsignor of the Las Vegas Review-Journal this morning that the Raiders have begun reaching out to teams to gauge interest in a Davante Adams trade. So much going on that we got to pack into these 2 hours, but let's start right here in Sacramento with Media Day. James, what was your number one, if we're doing a list of takeaways from yesterday, what goes at the top of the list for you? You were there with Kenny Caraway down there at Media Day. What was your biggest takeaway?
Okay, so I always compare Media Day literally to like the first day of school.
Yeah,
right?
I heard that a lot.
You haven't seen anybody and all that stuff. DeMar DeRozan is like, if you had a first day of school, And everyone knew that, like, a famous actor decided to transfer to your school during the off season, during the summer, and no one's met him yet, but you're like hoping to see him, and then he shows up and it's like,
oh my God, he's in my math class.
Oh my gosh. DeMar DeRozan is here. I think the overwhelming feeling of everything, take all the basketball out, take everything else out,
yeah,
that you got a star, a player that most of these guys grew up watching because he's been in the league for so long. Even De'Aaron Fox, like, mm-hmm, he's entering year 8, and what is DeRozan's year 16?
Ooh.
So De'Aaron started talking about it. He's like, what was I like in sixth grade when he got
That's
drafted?
That's crazy.
He's like, so it's really, really interesting to watch, yeah, him come into the league, and it's like, you know him, but you don't know him, and now he's your teammate, and that's different. And I think one of the prevailing things, I asked Trey Lyles about this, but DeMar talked about how he's a quiet leader, right? Like, he leads by example. And I asked Trey because he started talking about leadership, and I think most people forgot that Trey Lyles played with DeMar DeRozan in San Antonio for 2 years. Completely.
I didn't forget that. Didn't know it.
Completely Just missed didn't it. Know. Completely missed it, right? And then I asked Trey, I'm like, is it kind of funny? You guys seem to collect quiet leaders. Like, it's a whole team of quiet leaders. And then Malik Monk.
Yeah.
Everyone else is like super reserved, super like calm. Like, they let their actions speak for themselves. Yeah. And then Malik Monk is out there like with a giant drum. So I think that was my biggest takeaway, is that how everyone is enamored with the fact that DeMar DeRozan is in the building.
Yeah, that's gonna, and I that's not gonna change anytime soon.
No.
Like, that's gonna be the vibe night one at Golden 1 Center too.
Oh no, totally.
And probably night 2 and 3 and 4 and 5. Just as long as DeMar DeRozan's suiting up for the Kings, there's gonna be like, here's how this is I may be alone in this, but I don't think I am. It was the same vibe with Vince Carter. And granted, way different spots in their career, which is kind of the point I'm getting to. But even Vince Carter, who was here at what, age 40?
38, 39.
Right, just, and well past his prime.
Yeah.
He was a savvy veteran at that point, right? But it still was like, oh my God, Vince Carter is like here. He is just around. He is going to be here again tomorrow night. And that's a little bit how it is with DeMar DeRozan. But then you have to factor in, oh, hey, he's also a game-changing offensive player for everything the Kings have been doing the last 2 years.
Yeah.
And that's adding that in, that's really, really exciting. And I'm glad that bled over into Media Day.
Yeah, I think, like, I've talked about this my first season. Like, for whatever reason, I wasn't really starstruck. I walked in the door and I'm like, okay, whatever. This is what it is. I'm here to do a job and all that stuff.
Yes.
And then I was standing out on the court talking to some of my new media friends at that point. I think Jason Ross and Sean Cunningham. And Dominique Wilkins walked over and like, hey,
talk to Jason Ross, by the way. Talk to him. Go ahead.
Dominique walks over and like, hey, what's going on, guys? And he like joins our scrum. And I'm like, oh my gosh, Dominique.
It's like, hi, Dominique.
Hi, Dominique.
Oh my God, huge fan.
Do I call you Dominique or Mr. Wilkins or do I call you Mr. Highlight Reel? That's what, when Vince Carter walked in the door, it felt like with a lot of the media members. Vince Carter would hold like fireside chats at his locker and would just wax.
Shout out FDR.
Yeah, just wax poetically for like 15 minutes after a game, and everyone's huddled around and it's like, man, I got a job to do. I'm not going to sit here. Like, it's cool to hear the stories and stuff, but eventually you're like, okay, this is like, you guys I don't know what you're doing with all this footage of Vince Carter interviews in the locker room, but there's too much of it. This is going to be different. Like, DeMar DeRozan is a flat out baller. He's coming here to score 20 points per game and to win basketball games. And that's not to say that Vince Carter wasn't here to win basketball games, but this is a different type of player. And I think the buzz around him is pretty wild. It's the biggest buzz around any player that I've ever seen in Sacramento since I've covered the team.
Like, what would even be close?
Vince Carter. No, I mean, that's Z-Bo.
Like, obviously, people, because Domas came midseason.
Mm-hmm.
And then going into that, everybody knew Domantas Sabonis was good, but he hadn't kind of reached the hadn't ascended to the heights that he's at now. De'Aaron Fox is an exciting rookie, but you know there's exciting rookies all the time. Like this is just kind of unprecedented.
Yeah.
In the last 2 decades.
I think a player like Domantas Sabonis too, you know how good he is. You look at the numbers, but he's playing in Indiana, he's playing in OKC.
Yeah, and he just hasn't been around as long.
No. But you don't get the appreciation for Domantas Sabonis until you watch him every single game and you realize that dude just brings his lunch pail and his hard hat and takes a beating and gives a beating to other people.
Yeah.
And that's you develop an appreciation.
Sure.
DeMar DeRozan, we've been able to watch from, you know, afar and go, oh my gosh, he's a great basketball player.
Yeah.
6-time All-Star, surefire Hall of Famer, all that stuff.
I saw some photos of Keegan Murray. Best shape of his life, Keegan Murray?
Yeah, I'm going to say
might be.
Yeah. Yeah. Keegan, to me, like, we always look for the star of the day, right? The guy who was a workout warrior and all that stuff. And I think that, like, overall, that was a general theme. Like, Orlando Robinson walked up, and I was like, oh my gosh, you are a huge dude.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I think I even said to him, I guess, because he had to reach around the crowd to like get to where he was trying to go to.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, I guess that's what a 7'4" wingspan looks like. And he goes, yep. And he is a tremendously like built dude. And, but Keegan Murray steps up and like the first, I asked him about like, it looks like you bulked up and he said, yeah, I've got to be ready to defend bigger players this year.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh, okay. It's like, yeah, there's no more HB. I've got to, whoever it is,
yeah,
LeBron,
gonna spend some time at the four or whatever,
KD, or well, he's gonna spend a lot of time at the four.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, I got to be ready, and it's like, wow. So I would say, I'm not saying he gained 20 pounds, but upper body strength,
yeah,
he's gonna fight the balancing, adding bulk and still remaining, you know, super flexible. But he was probably one of the more impressive like body transformation guys.
Yeah.
And I expect that from him another couple of times because they're gonna keep twisting.
He's an older prospect, but he's not an old person. Right? He came into the league a little later than an 18-year-old, but his body's still gonna change pretty dramatically. Like you said, probably one or two more times.
Well, that and the interesting thing about him is like I had someone within the walls of the Kings tell me when they after they drafted him that the Kings looked at both the Murray twins and looked at how late they grew and said that they have young bodies that they can be transformed. Like they're not like your seasoned veteran body that's coming in at 22 years old, that they thought that there was a lot of moldability to just their physiques. And that's what we're seeing. And they've been able to like really transform him at every step of the way here.
Mm-hmm.
And we're looking at his third NBA summer and like the body transformation is just wild. I want to see how it looks on the court because that's usually where it's like, okay, maybe you need to tone it back. I mean, De'Aaron Fox did this one time when he was young and was like, okay, man, that you looking like an NFL linebacker is probably not what we're looking for.
Yeah. It's a fluctuation for sure. One of the people that D'Lo was talking about yesterday before KC pulled up, they were showing video of Kevin Huerter.
Mm-hmm.
And I know we're going to talk about Kevin Huerter a lot. We're going to talk about the shooting guard spot a lot. I felt like last year, really starting in the preseason, from the moment Chris Duarte was supposed to start a preseason game, it felt like that began a spiral that Kevin Huerter never fully pulled out of. And I think that, in my opinion, again, I'm not a psychologist. I don't know the guy. But it felt like that kind of affected his play on the court. Do you feel like he's in a better space this year, a different space? Or were you able to glean that from yesterday?
Yeah, I would say like you have to even rewind a little bit. The three-point shootout is where I think Kevin got in his head when he just melted down at at the All-Star weekend.
Yeah,
and then he had a bad playoff, right? And he wasn't impactful in the playoffs. And then you got into training camp and he was, you know, again, in a battle that he didn't know was, he didn't see coming. And that was a problem. I think that first of all, like Kevin isn't 100% cleared. And he's taking the advice of his doctor. He's doing all of the work that he needs to do. He's not fully 6 months, I think he said, is something like October 4th or something. He said the date.
So this week.
Yeah. But then once he's cleared, he's got to be cleared again, and then he's got to be cleared for contact.
My God.
And so, like, once he has the doctor visit, the doctor says, yeah, we're thumbs up. Then you go to the rest of what's going to happen. He's been working out. I thought it was really interesting. Him and Devin Carter have been kind of in the gym at the same time, doing the same types of rehab. And Kevin said that Devin Carter had gone through it before, which at first we thought that meant that Devin Carter had surgery. Like, sounded like Kevin Herter said that Devin Carter had surgery while in college on his shoulder, but that's not what he said. Well, that's not. Devin Carter did not confirm that. He said, no, I've never had surgery up until this point.
Mm-hmm.
But he had gone through the rehab process.
Sure.
Before.
That makes sense.
Of trying to repair his shoulder.
Yeah.
And
trying to do it without surgery.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So all the bands and all that stuff, they've been working together. I thought Kevin was in good spirits. I thought he had a good, a smile. You know, he looked like he had been working really hard on his body and that he's ready to play. He also said, you know, he thinks this year will be a lot more catch and shoot opportunities as opposed to the flying off the DHO.
Mm-hmm.
And like he just felt like more like the guy that we saw in year one,
mm-hmm.
like most of the season where he was just really, really good.
Yeah.
And, you know, a really strong player and then kind of lost his way. So I was happy to see him at least mentally see like he's mm-hmm. himself, and he talked about it. He feels refreshed. He's really worked on it, and so hopefully that plays out and is a good thing for him during the season.
That's James Hamm. I'm Kyle Madsen. Jiffy Lube sponsors the show. We're the insiders. We're hanging out with you until noon right here on Sacramento Sports Leader ESPN 1320. I want to put a pin in Media Day stuff. I want to ask you about a few more people who were there, and I want to get into some training camp questions because the Kings begin training camp today.
Yeah,
at noon. But we got a ton of stuff to pack in, so I want to put a pin in the King stuff momentarily, and get to whatever the hell happened on Monday Night Football last night. Remember last week when we said that we were out on the two Monday Night Football games?
Oh yeah,
we're kind of like yesterday. I was so grateful for it. If I had to sit through Titans Dolphins on Monday Night Football, I wouldn't have made it. I don't know what I would have done.
You that just might would have not watched football.
Somehow, that's legitimate. It might have been on, but that's like a phone game or I'm going to follow this on the NFL app game. It was so bad. I didn't think it could get worse than the Dolphins-Seahawks game, and it might have gotten worse.
I looked at that game and knew that it was going to be so horrible that there was no way I could turn it on.
So that was what I said to Jesse yesterday.
Yeah.
And Jesse started trying to talk me into it, you know, because a bit. And I was like, okay, you know what? Tyler Huntley, talented player. Mike McDaniel's had him for a couple of weeks. Maybe they do something fun and it's going to look different and they can kind of make this a game just through some kind of offensive smoke and mirrors. Nope. Was never a game. Was never fun. I enjoyed 0 seconds of whatever I watched of that game. But thankfully, on the other channel, we had Lions Seahawks. The Lions win that game 42-29. Jared Goff, 18 of 18, 292 yards, 2 touchdowns. He also caught a touchdown pass.
Absolutely spectacular.
Unreal game.
Yes.
Just an outstanding performance from Jared Goff and the entire Lions offense. Yank 42 on a Seattle defense that'll look pretty good. That's impressive. But honestly, I went into last night thinking, okay, the Seahawks win this game, I'm in on the Seahawks. If they lose, then it'll tell me. But honestly, I think the Seahawks are still very much for real, despite their loss last night. I was, I don't want to say blown away. They didn't play that well. But going into Detroit and sticking around as much as they did in that game where there were so many opportunities for them, they were down 2 touchdowns. And, oh, hey, they're down 16. Okay, they cut it to 8. Oh, immediately 70-yard touchdown. That makes it a 15-point game again.
Mm.
But then, hey, they're battling back. I was really impressed by Seattle last night. They're 3-1 after 4 weeks, and I think that's a very real 3-1. I think Seattle's good.
I think we were waiting to see if they were a real 3-1, and I think what we saw last night was, yeah, they're legit.
Yeah,
and not only that, but I would say that the Lions are legit contenders.
They're good, man.
Yeah, that run by Montgomery, or was it a reception and then run?
Well, it was a reception where he railroaded Devon Witherspoon.
Yeah.
Immediately, and then broke another tackle, and then reversed field.
And then broke like six more tackles.
That was remarkable. And he seems to do that once a game where he has a run where you just kind of like, wait, I got to rewind. Did he really just do that? Did I see that right?
That is the mentality of the Detroit Lions.
Yes.
And that's what I think. It's very rare that you see a mentality permeate through an entire organization like it is with the Lions, where there's so much fight from every single player who steps on the field. And it really is like, their coach has set the standard of who they're going to be. And like I've mentioned this before, it really does remind me of like the Memphis Grizzlies.
Yeah.
Like, well, who they are going to be. Taylor Jenkins like runs that team. Like, this is who we are.
Mm-hmm.
And they lost their way last year for sure. And I don't know how they get back on their, because once you lose that, I don't know if you can regain that as like the spirit of who you are.
Totally.
But for right now, like, he has their ear, and the collective whole is, I mean, they're incredible as a group, and I think they're going to be really tough to beat.
Yeah, all the Dan Campbell stuff felt like bluster at first, right?
Yeah.
It felt like, okay, biting kneecaps, okay, weirdo. But man, that energy, like you said, they have fully adopted that personality. I have questions about whether they can get enough stops defensively in a big game, but it might not matter, because apparently they can just score whenever they want to. And I really think that what you saw last night, the Lions had been kind of up and down the first couple of weeks, had that really close game against a beat-up Rams team, and then they lose at home to Tampa Bay, and then they go in and they beat the Cardinals 20-13. Yesterday felt like, okay, everything kind of clicked for the Lions. This is who the Lions are going to be. And from the 49ers' perspective, okay, Seahawks are legit. I think the Seahawks are good. Mm-hmm. And they're now a game up in the division. And Detroit is not going anywhere. Detroit is a like you said, a bona fide contender in the NFC. That was kind of the big takeaway for me last night, is these two teams clearly, okay, they've found their stride. The Seahawks, you know, were 3-0 going into last night. They've hit a stride early. The Lions really locked in last night. Okay, you figure that's kind of what they're going to be moving forward. Now the Niners need to do the same. And was week four a fluke where, hey, yeah, they played a really bad team and they looked awesome doing it? Or are we seeing the Niners kind of turn it up the way we saw Seattle do at the start of the year and the way we saw the Lions do last night?
Yeah.
I'm waiting to see, because they can't. It's really clear they're not going to be able to do the thing where they go, yeah, hey, we're 3-5 after 8 weeks, but hey, everything's going to be cool. Just rip off seven straight wins and make the playoffs. I don't think that's going to work this year.
Maybe.
It's too many good teams.
I think there are a lot of good teams, though. I definitely think. But
we didn't even mention Minnesota.
There's also the best
team in the sport right now.
There's also a bunch of bad teams. Let's be honest. I mean, we saw bad teams play last night, and you're going to get a couple of those on your schedule.
Yeah.
Yeah, Minnesota's quietly just the best team in the NFL.
Yeah, and I don't know that there's any reason to think that's going anywhere. But man, that Titans-Dolphins game was so ugly. I thought maybe I'd get some enjoyment out of like, yeah, hey, Will Levis, oh, look how bad he is. But then he gets hurt. Mason Rudolph comes in. I have no interest in watching Mason Rudolph play football.
No, no.
That was brutal. Thank God for the two Monday Night Football games. Also last night, or yesterday, you want to talk about Pete Rose real quick?
Yeah, let's talk about Pete Rose.
So
it's complicated, right?
Pete Rose, I need to make this... I don't want to have this be the conversation, but this is just how I want to make sure that I am expressing this. The all-time leader in hits in Major League Baseball.
Mm-hmm.
Professional baseball exists outside of Major League Baseball.
It does.
I just need to... Ichiro is the all-time leader in hits. Pete Rose has more hits in Major League Baseball history than anybody ever. Obviously not in the Hall of Fame because of the gambling stuff. I still contend that it wasn't the gambling that kept Pete Rose out of the Hall of Fame. It was how he acted about it afterwards and denying it for so long. And then continuing to make gambling like a prominent part of his life. And some off-field things that came out about him.
Mm-hmm.
I just think all of those things kind of stacked up. Like it felt like the league was kind of trending toward, or there was going to be like a groundswell of support to get Pete Rose as he entered, you know, his late 70s and early 80s. There was going to be this groundswell of support to get him to Cooperstown. Hey, you know what? You're in bed with all these betting sites and all these sports books anyways. You're watching a game and they're telling you what the run line is at the bottom of the fifth inning. Like, man, just put him in Cooperstown. But I think that he was a divisive enough figure for a long enough time that the league was just never gonna let that happen.
Yeah, I'd also say that the fact that A. Bartlett Giamatti, the commissioner at the time who banned Pete Rose, ended up dying like 7 days later, I think that played into it as well. Like it sort of, for a lot of people, it cemented that decision was finalized.
Mm-hmm.
And let's be honest here, like there are other great players that are not in the Hall of Fame because of this exact situation.
Mm-hmm.
Well, not even this exact situation. Pete Rose was way more like out there in front of it and
yes,
and making money on this and trying, like Shoeless Joe Jackson is not in the Hall of Fame.
Right.
Pete Rose is not in the Hall of Fame because not only was he a degenerate gambler, but he mm-hmm. bet on his own teams while he was a manager and a player.
It's crazy.
Like the stuff that he did is just like, you can't accept that. And I know a lot of people look at this and say, like, they're like your sports figures, they have so many faults. Like, how are you going to pick and choose what's mm-hmm. a fault and what it's not? And I know a lot of people are going to have the same conversation, not about gambling, but about cheating, mm-hmm. because that's what taking PEDs is cheating.
Mm-hmm.
But they have the same conversation, whether it's about Barry Bonds or whether it's about A-Rod or whether it's about McGuire. There's all these players that, you know, they're not in the Hall of Fame because they cheated.
Mm-hmm.
And I think Rose is the one that, like in our era, there's got to be other players that
mm-hmm.
that bet on baseball. There's no, you know.
Oh, for sure.
A tough, like how many players, we don't know. But at the end of the day, his inability to really like accept responsibility for it and not just be
exactly,
he was like a red ass on the field.
Yeah.
And that's who he was as a person.
Yeah.
And that's really, really grating.
Mm-hmm.
And when he got it in his head that he was going to fight this battle that he did no wrong and that whatever mm-hmm. happened, it's, you know, people should look past it or they should, and also just to deny it forever.
Mm-hmm.
That's just like, at the end of the day, it's, you know, he doesn't deserve to be in the Hall because he cheated.
Yeah.
And because he defiled the sport. I mean,
and baseball as a sport, we're going back to the 1800s now, when it first became like an organized sport, they used to have bookies like on the field taking bets on, like that was the whole thing around baseball. And that's why when it became a legitimate professional league and it started to grow the way it did into the early 1900s, that's why they had to eliminate that and completely separate themselves from it, because they wanted to legitimize themselves as a league, whether it was the Federal League or the American League or the National League or whatever it was. They needed to legitimize themselves by separating themselves from gamblers entirely. And that was why the punishment with the White Sox in the 1919 World Series was so severe, even though several of those players never saw a dime.
Mm.
And a guy like Shoeless Joe Jackson, there was never any evidence that he did anything to throw a game. But it's just being involved in that conspiracy,
mm-hmm.
like that was enough. Like, you're gone. And just that precedent was set so early in the sport that you can't do what Pete Rose did. And you might say, like, yeah, times change and they're in bed with sports books now. And the segment about Pete Rose dying is sponsored by DraftKings kind of thing. Like, that's where the discussion's gone. But it's like baseball as a sport is just, or MLB as a league, is just never going to accept it.
Yeah.
It will never, ever be a thing that they're okay with.
It's funny. They're okay with certain things and they're not with others.
Yeah.
I mean, because A-Rod, they decided
gambling is the hard red line.
Yeah, and A-Rod, a multi-time cheater,
mm-hmm.
is one of the faces of their programming. And yeah. You just stand about, like, I don't know what to say.
So, Pete Rose, no longer with us, Major League Baseball's hit king, should probably be in Cooperstown, but is not. All right, we got more King stuff to get to. We got training camp questions. I got a couple of more things for you from Media Day. We'll have some more 49er stuff coming up. Tons to get into in the next hour and a half on The Insider, sponsored by Jiffy Lube. He's James. I'm Kyle. We're on ESPN 1320, Sacramento Sports Leader.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com to start your mental health journey today.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free, all on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
Now, back to the Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen. Brought to you by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320.
916-909-1320, 916-909-1320. That is the Elk Grove Kia talk line if you want to join the program. 916-909-1320. I'll get back into the Sacramento Kings here. And want to remind you, by the way, that the Insiders, our podcast, is available wherever you get your podcasts. It's called The James Hamm and Kyle Madsen Show.
Oh, yeah.
You search that, subscribe, and you can catch whatever you miss live. Maybe you want to revisit something. Maybe you just want to help us cook our downloads. However you want to justify it, please go download The James Hamm and Kyle Madsen Show and subscribe.
There you go.
Wherever you get your pods. And, of course, on the free Odyssey app. Kings. We didn't print our rundowns. Well, we printed our rundowns. I didn't go get them. I forgot.
Oh, brutal. It's my bad.
Okay, so we were talking about Kings Media Day, and we talked about DeMar DeRozan and Kevin Huerter and Keegan Murray. But for me this year, and frankly for the foreseeable future, I think the Kings are going to kind of go as far as De'Aaron Fox takes them.
Mm-hmm.
That's not to say that he's doing this alone, but I believe in the NBA, you are going to go as far as your star, your number one player takes you. And to me, De'Aaron Fox is the 1A on this team. If you disagree with that, that's fine. We can have that discussion. But where is he at? Because this is a pretty sizable change. We were talking at the break. Harrison Barnes, no longer with the Kings. Okay, they're bringing in DeMar DeRozan, who is a bona fide Hall of Fame shot maker. Where's De'Aaron Fox with all this, at least in your read on being a media day yesterday?
Yeah, okay, so first of all, there are certain players that like to get media day and the media portion, like talking to the media, like out of the way as quickly as possible, because media day is like, it's a bit of a misnomer. Like, media day means they have to hit like 42 stations.
Mm-hmm.
Including like Kings.com has your, if everyone remembers Mike Brown screaming, mm-hmm. that was because the Kings had Rashawn Holmes on the other side of the gym roaring like a lion, and Mike heard it and responded back. So that's because there was a station, and NBC has a station where they mm-hmm. do like all those slow-mo promos where you're going to halftime and you see like the camera spinning around De'Aaron Fox and he's holding the ball. They have to go in all these stations. They have to go in all the photo booths, all that stuff. De'Aaron Fox is a player who likes to drag it out as long as possible. He does not, he wants to be last. He wants to be the last one to talk to media. And it's funny because Domantas Sabonis is a guy that wants to talk to the media first and get everything done with and then go do all of his other duties. So I thought for me, by the time De'Aaron got to us, he was just in a great mood. He had a big smile on his face. It's funny. This is his eighth media day in Sacramento. And for someone who's covered all of those, really, really intriguing to watch a kid come in at 19 years old, brash with like little spiky hair. Mm-hmm. And like he weighs like maybe 160 pounds soaking wet. And now he's a full grown man. He's married. He's got kids. And watch the whole transformation of him as like a teenager to a grown man and the leader of a basketball team. And he's comfortable. He's excited about his shoes. He was overwhelmed by his trip to China. Everything about him just like exuded confidence. And not that I think De'Aaron Fox arrived a few years ago, but the comfortability in your own skin is something that I think he now can take ownership of. And I think he's also, he's really excited to work with somebody like, I mean, he was over the moon excited to work with Domas, but to work with another guy like him in DeMar DeRozan, it's something he brought up. He said that both of us draw the same types of coverage.
Mm-hmm.
It's always the long, super athletic wing that teams stick on us. So you play the Timberwolves and all of a sudden you're up against McDaniel brother all game long, right? And he's like, now there's two of us. Mm-hmm. So what are you going to do now? And I think he's really looking forward to what DeRozan brings to the court and how he can take some of the pressure off. And I look at DeRozan in that way, the same way I look at Keon Ellis playing next to De'Aaron as a guy who can take a lot of the pressure off defensively. If you can slowly take little things away from De'Aaron Fox and let him thrive in the things that he's comfortable doing and what he's good at, you're going to find that De'Aaron Fox could take a gigantic leap as a player.
Yeah.
And whether it's just like becoming more efficient or it's just becoming more consistent or whatever it is, I just think we'll see something slightly different from him this year where you see the glide of De'Aaron Fox when he's playing at his height. He barely touches the floor.
Yeah.
He's like watching a video game.
Mm-hmm.
And when he's perfect health-wise and he's right on the court, that's when you just get optimal. And I think we might see a lot more optimal De'Aaron Fox this season.
Yeah, we've talked a lot about Keegan Murray taking a leap and that being such a key. But if you're getting that version of De'Aaron Fox where he just, not that he hasn't, like he's been an All-NBA caliber player for the last 2 years, but making a leap into a like MVP echelon, right?
Yeah.
Where, okay, it's everything he's been good at, but now he has mastered this. Where it's, man, getting to his spot and connecting whenever he wants and knowing, like he had the game last year where he hadn't been scoring it well and then he goes out and had like 10 assists and doing that more often where, like you said, he's more efficient, he's distributing more often and you're just seeing like, hey, this isn't De'Aaron noticeably different as a player. He's just night in and night out the best version of himself. That's another thing that could happen that would help the Kings get a make that leap to a fringe contender. To hey man, nobody wants to see the Kings in a playoff series.
No,
so that's good news for Sacramento if De'Aaron is in that space. What about Malik Monk?
Okay, so Malik.
Speaking of team leaders,
yeah, Malik is that guy that that media loves and media relations is always leery of because they don't know what he's going to say, and you can just feel like the anxiety of it. So, like most players, we got for like 8, 10, 12 minutes, whatever you wanted. Malik Monk was like, "Okay, we're at the 4 minute mark; it's time to go." I appreciate Malik and his rawness, and there are things that Malik says that always, you know, again, we've talked about this, like he literally walks in and says to me and other media members, like F off every day, like,
right,
but jokingly, like he's having a good time with us. You can feel that the money, the financial freedom that he just got for him and his family is something that has changed him, like that he is embracing that he's made it. Look, Mom, I made it, right? But I think hiding behind all of the sort of bravado from him is this undeniable feeling that he found his NBA home, that he had trouble being embraced in Charlotte. He thought he'd maybe found something in LA, but, you know, again, he was a little brother and they didn't have any money to pay him. Mm. When he got to Sacramento, I think he found himself as a player. All of a sudden, he found a community that's fully embracing him. He found a game in golf that has really taken up a huge percentage of what he does off the court. Sacramento is one of the best places if you're a golfing player because the season is so long in Sacramento. Mm-hmm. And I don't think he pays for anything anywhere he goes.
Sure.
And I think he instantly feels like...
Which is crazy. He's got it.
No, he does now.
Let me golf for free.
Yeah, that's right.
I don't got it.
That's right. But I think there's a moment where you look around and you realize that you're being embraced by a community, mm-hmm. and it's different than having a gigantic bank account. It's that
Definitely.
Like there's something about being accepted, and I think it's something that really is hiding underneath with him a mm-hmm. lot, just how much he appreciates, and it's not a De'Aaron Fox thing. It's just how much he appreciates that he is beloved.
Mm-hmm.
And he knows that that's not something you get everywhere.
Yeah.
And so I think it's really cool because he's always been so much fun and you just get to, there's so many layers to him.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I always look for with players is when players are intriguing to me, mm-hmm. it's like you want to talk to them more. You want to be around them more because you want to learn more about what's going on in their head. And he's just one of those players that just super, super intriguing.
Mm-hmm. And that's not a huge surprise given the deal he signed and when he signed it.
Oh yeah.
He didn't even look in free agency. And he had an idea.
Yeah, he had an idea.
But I think that was evident in the deal he took and not going to Charlotte or Detroit or whatever team was going to offer him $100 million.
Yeah, Orlando, whatever it was. Well, that and the fact that he did it like so early in the process, mm-hmm. just said, hey, look, no, this is where I'm going.
Right, we're eliminating this question, going to put the team in the best position to navigate the offseason.
Yeah. And,
where they're not also having to worry about this.
And I'll bring it up, too. He's not the only one. Like, we saw it last summer with Trey Lyles. Trey Lyles, like, almost begged to come back. Like, Trey Lyles, like, wanted to come back so bad. Like, this is where I, at the end of the season, this is where I want to be. I want to be back. And you take away some of your leverage, you still got a 2-year, $16 million deal, right? Mm-hmm. But then, again, this summer, you know, Alex Len was a free agent. And Alex Len, somehow, this will be his 12th season in the NBA.
Insane.
His fourth season in Sacramento consecutively, but there's also another season where he was here for half a season
mm-hmm.
and then left and then came back. But, you know, Alex talked about it, too, that, like, there's something different about being here and about feeling welcome. So he said, when my agent called and said, this is kind of the list of teams that are interested, where do you want to go? And he's like, well, Sacramento's on the list. I'm going back to Sacramento.
Mm-hmm.
And so he feels like this is home. And for all of those out there who, like, Alex Len has been through so much personally, like, because of the war in Ukraine. And the one good thing he did tell us yesterday is that everyone is here now.
Mm.
And so that's a big stress relief. That doesn't mean everyone he knows, and it doesn't mean that tragedy can't happen.
Sure.
But he's been able to get his family here, which is huge. And just watching that and watching someone who is in a locker room but on their phone doing things, watching things that you just feel for the entire time, that someone shouldn't have to be watching and looking out for during an NBA season.
Mm-hmm.
I think it speaks to a larger culture that Sacramento is building and how players like Trey Lyles and Alex Len and Malik Monk, they want to be here because here is home. Mm-hmm. And this is what they find their NBA home and they're building something here. And yeah, they want to win basketball games, but also as players, you can win basketball games in a lot of different cities.
Mm-hmm.
The key sometimes is that you feel right as a human and feel like you can be more of yourself as a human and be able to put yourself out there in a different way.
Yeah. That's, I think that stuff matters, man.
Yeah.
It's like we talked about with the Karl-Anthony Towns trade yesterday. that was something that Carl Anthony Towns had found in Minnesota, I think. And then they blow that up. And I think it's going to, you're going to see a massive adverse effect on Minnesota.
Mm-hmm.
And I think you would have seen the same thing with Sacramento. If they had let, you know, whether it was Alex Lynn or Malik Monk or whatever, there's a value to that kind of level of continuity.
Mm-hmm.
And having this be a place where NBA players are like, yeah, hey, you know what? Sacramento's not that bad.
No. No, it's turns out
it's a good place to be.
And I'm going to throw this out there too. It's a place where all of a sudden you can be part of one of the biggest Netflix series ever for the NBA.
Mm-hmm.
You can be part of it. Even though you're a Sacramento King, it's a place where you can release a book and go on a worldwide book tour and become a New York Times bestseller. I'm assuming that's what's happening with DeMar DeRozan's book. And it's also a place where you can get one of the most lucrative shoe deals that there is, and you can go tour China with Steph Curry and get your own shoe. Sacramento is no longer just an outpost. It's a place where you can actually be part of the NBA culture outside of just the game itself.
Yep.
And that's a big deal. It is a big deal.
Yeah, no doubt. Last thing about Media Day, then I want to get to some training camp stuff for the Kings. Did I see that there was a mountain climber?
Yeah.
Was this like a activity, a show?
No, so Mike Brown, like every coach,
vibing?
Yeah, they're always looking for like, what is it that we're going to do? How are we going to build this thing out? Who are we going to be this year, right? And we had the all-in shirts 1 year. Last year, I think, was connectivity. Connected. You know, they had the shirt that said connected.
Sure.
This year, it's climbing together. And so what they want to do is they want to promote this idea that, you know, like, we're better as a group than we are as individuals. And if we're going to make this meteoric climb that we want to make, and we want to set our targets on the Western Conference Finals or being a contender, all that stuff, the only way we're going to get there is if we're moving together. And that when you're, if you're a climber, like a mountain climber, you understand that you have a team and that not everybody on the team, this is what Mike Brown was saying, is not everybody on your mountain climbing team gets to reach the summit. Some people can't get to the summit because, you know, their bodies can't, they can't deal with the oxygen deprivation. Some people can. And he's like, you know, so when you're all roped together, we're all pulling on the same string. That's what we're talking about. One guy falls, we all have to catch him. We can't just. So I think it's an interesting thing that Mike is trying to get philosophical with them and say, look, this is how we're going to grow together. If we're going to ascend, like, say, the Minnesota Timberwolves did last year, it's because all of us move together in one giant swath, not each individual. Now, again, you get to the end, and De'Aaron Fox and DeMar DeRozan and Domantas Sabonis are going to be the ones that get all the praise and the acclaim, but that doesn't mean that we didn't lift them up and get them to that point. And so he brought in one of the world's greatest mountain climbers. I don't
sure.
know. To talk to the team yesterday.
Yeah.
He's a guy who's climbed all of the, 14 peaks or 13 peaks in the world, the highest peaks in the world. He's climbed all of them, including Annapurna.
Can I, real quick?
Yep.
I am all bought in on this.
Yep.
There's also an opportunity to make, if that's going to be the theme of the year, Stray Kids, the K-pop group I really like, has a song called Mountains.
Oh.
And it's about climbing up the mountain.
Okay.
Anyways. It's a good opportunity to integrate that song into the show is what I'm saying. And I'm really excited to figure that out.
There it is.
No, but you're talking about this mountain climber who has climbed all of the tallest peaks in the world.
Yep.
Why is this not the most famous person in the universe?
Oh, yeah.
Do you know
yeah.
how difficult that is?
Yeah.
Like doing that, if I did half of one of those climbs one time, I would be like, I am a god.
You
like,
would
hello,
like have
everyone.
It, like tattooed on
oh
your chest.
Oh my god, you would never hear. I would open every show. Hey, that's James Hamm. I'm Kyle Madsen. I climbed 1/10 of the way up Mount Kilimanjaro. What's really good? We're sponsored by Jiffy Lube.
That's right.
And this dude's gotten to the top of all of them. Never heard of him.
Yeah.
Make this guy famous. What's his name?
I can't even remember.
Perfect.
So that's the craziness of it. Like he talked about Annapurna, right? It's not the tallest peak, but it's the most difficult. And he said that Mike Brown said this, that one out of three climbers die trying to climb Annapurna. And this guy is one of like 11 people who have free climbed or something and climbed without oxygen. Like, absolutely incredible. So it was cool to see him like that this is their mantra this year. And, you know, each player handles it differently. You know, some players just kind of like smile like, yeah, that's Mike's thing. And other players are buying in. And I think at the end of the day, the one thing I will say about Mike Brown over the last couple of years is the buy-in has been as close to 100% as you can get. And I mean, I've been in locker rooms where the buy-in was minimal, where there were guys that clearly separate from the group, where there are factions that separate from the group, where there are factions within the locker room that don't like other factions within the locker room. I've seen all kinds of craziness in Sacramento. But I would say that Mike's personality is to bring people together and to be like the arm over your shoulder, like father figure.
Sure.
But then the dude who doesn't mind yelling and screaming and dropping F-bombs and getting in your business to push you.
Yeah.
And so this is just his new thing, and I'm kind of here for it.
Ed Veesters.
Yes.
Veesters is the first American, this is according to the Google AI overview, salute, the first American to climb all 14 of the world's highest peaks without supplemental oxygen. Those are the 14 peaks over 8,000 meters above sea level.
Whew.
What a guy. What an accomplishment. Ed Veesters.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so he came to Sacramento yesterday and was part of their conversations.
Brown said the team's theme of climbing together was inspired by Veesters. I got questions for Mike. Was he hiking and went, hey, I wonder if anyone's ever climbed the 14 high. Did he watch a documentary about this guy? I would love to know the inspiration. Next time you talk to Mike.
Okay.
I need you to get to the, punt. How does DeMar DeRozan fit? We'll figure that out. Who's going to start at the two? See you opening night. I need to know where he came up with this.
Yeah, it's interesting too, because like I know where he spends most of his summers. I know where he's like in New Mexico, and
as one does,
there's a lot of hiking there.
Sure,
but I don't think that there's a lot of
not a lot of mountains in New Mexico.
A lot of mountains, yeah. So, So I don't know. I got to be honest. Like,
that's what we got to ask. That's what I'm saying.
He's an intriguing dude, and when he kind of goes down one of these tangents, I think. I think he talked about it for six minutes to open training camp.
I mean, come on. And nobody said, where'd you get this idea?
Well, no, because he didn't stop.
Mike,
he didn't stop talking, and I don't think anyone wanted to continue on the mountain climbing thing.
I know he's an avid listener of the Insiders. Mike, the Elk Grove Kia talk line is 916-909-1320. I have one question. I promise I won't badger you with basketball stuff. I need to know about Ed. To know how you know about Ed. 916-909-1320. That's the Elk Grove Kia talk line. Hope he calls. Kings training camp opens today.
Yeah.
At the break, I'm going in and getting rundowns because I'm doing this digitally is not helping for me. Oh, I have one more question about media day.
Yeah.
Before we get to training camp. What was the vibe this year? Specifically compared to last year?
Okay, so I think that you put this on the rundown early, and
yes.
Like, look, when we talk about vibes,
you know, I'm a big vibes guy.
Yes, you are. And I think that media day is a day where, again, just think first day of school, like where everyone's excited, everyone has like new clothes on, you know, everyone's got a new pair of shoes,
of course,
everyone's looking clean and fit, right? So I think vibes are always good on the first day of school. The third day of school, sometimes they're not so good. So I would say vibes on day one last year, the Kings were coming off their best season in 16 years, and they thought they were going to be world beaters. All they talked about, we heard the word championship like way too many times on media day last year. This year, I think that there's a little bit more I'm comfortable in my own skin. you know, I'm more comfortable in what I'm doing here type feel with this team.
Mm-hmm.
All of them. Like they know that last year was not who they want to be. They know that they need to bump it up 5-6 wins in order to make sure they're in the playoffs. They know that they are more comfortable being a top three team like the year before than they are being a team at the bottom of the Western Conference standings.
You'd hope so.
And they're disappointed in the way last season went, and they're also all very, very excited that the new DeMar DeRozan guy is here, and he's here to help them win.
I think last year is going to be good for them long term.
It can be.
Yeah. After hearing you say, I think it's going to, like, getting, because the rise was so meteoric.
Oh, yeah.
It wasn't, oh, man, they were 500, and then, like, oh, they made, it was just overnight they became the number three seed. It was like, wait, oh, my God. And last year, I think getting knocked back to reality a little bit and getting back on more of a normal track of ascension, I think that's going to help them long term.
No, I totally agree.
That's not to say it's like that winning a championship last year would have been great, but I think long over the next 3, 4, 5 years, I think last year is going to benefit them.
Yeah, jumping from 30 wins to 48 wins is nearly impossible,
that's
and they did it.
Crazy,
but there's always a little bit of balancing. Mm-hmm. If they would have jumped to like say 53, to win 23 more games over a 2-year period.
Mm-hmm.
Taking that kind of leap, that doesn't happen.
No.
It very, very rarely happens in the NBA. So,
That's James Hamm. I'm Kyle Madsen. We're the Insiders. We're sponsored by Jiffy Lube. We'll have Kings training camp opens today. We're going to move on from the media day stuff. I want to get to the questions that we've got as the Kings enter training camp. What are we looking to answer? That's coming up next on the Insiders, sponsored by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320 at Sacramento Sports Center.
I'm going to go grab that.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, 3-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com to start your mental health journey today.
It's better over here.
After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at tmobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device credit service ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.